Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Wide receiver dreams of the past and wide receiver dreams of the present. Let's start with the past. CJ Stroud, his original wish was not to be teammates with Will Anderson. And in fact, his original wish was to throw the football to someone who he believes is going to be one of the best in the game in the near future. Here was C.J. Stroud with Matthew Berry, NBC Sports, talking about what his original wish was for the Texans when it came to their second first-round pick.
Of course, Jackson, I thought me and him would go 2-12, but when they moved up, I was super happy because I wanted Will, too. Like, yeah. Will was amazing in the process. I got to meet him a couple times, and it was just really helpful for me to have somebody like Will around and a franchise receiver, somebody who they're going to love to have, not only on the field, but off the field. I definitely think that he's just a great human being, but he's a dog. Like, it's somebody that I'm going to miss playing with, lining up with, because one thing, he's going to have his quarterback's back no matter what, and he's going to make plays for him. So not too long, Jackson to be, if not the best receiver in the league, one of them.
All right, there you go. So Jackson Smith,
that kind of made me sad a little bit.
That's what I was telling Landry. I'm happy with what the Texans have. I'm literally looking at Jackson Smith and Jigma highlights in Seattle, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, he's gonna be nice. Filthy. Now he's going to be like really, really good.
Yeah.
Like really, 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 really,
yes,
really good.
Yes, he is.
But he's not going to be a Texan. And CJ wished at one point, he's satisfied with what they got right now, but he wished that he would have been able to throw to the man from The Ohio State University by way of Rockwall, Texas. Here's CJ talking about the teammate that he did end up with, the man he will be throwing to, Tank Dell, local guy, by way of U of H. There was a rumor going around that maybe CJ demanded that Nick Caserio draft Tank Dell. Here's CJ Stroud being asked about that by Matthew Berry in NBC Sports.
The rumor is that you got drafted by the Texans, you went to the Texans brass and said, hey, go get me Tank Dell. Mm-hmm. Go draft Tank Dell. So is that true? And why Tank Dell? What'd you see in Tank that you wanted to make sure he was your teammate?
Yeah, Tank is not only an amazing player, amazing person as well. I got to talk to Nick, our GM, and he was asking me some questions about Tank. He was like, do you like him? I was like, yeah, I love him. Like, he's a great route runner, good dude, can catch really well. He's a big radius, fast guy, can take the top off. And I was like, yeah, like, I'll be happy with that. So he was like, call him. So I called Tank and chopped it up, and he was hoping that to go to the Texans, and then Nick gave him the call probably like a couple hours later, and then he ended up becoming the Texans. So it's kind of cool.
Is there anything about C.J. Stroud that we've seen or heard that would indicate that he would demand bringing in a receiver? We speculated on this exact thing when that news was kind of out there. Kind of silly to think that, but also impressive because as tight as Nick Caserio and the personnel staff is with their draft board and was with their draft board, he did go to him and at least ask. And that's impressive. I mean, I know he's your franchise quarterback, but, I mean, hell, the assistant coaches didn't even know.
Ask him what you think of him. What do you think of him? Yeah. What do you think of Hyatt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's common.
Yeah.
Who do you like? Oh, I like Tank. We went back and to the combine or whenever they connected. So there's that. His wish list. CJ didn't originally expect that he would have Will Anderson as a teammate. Was thinking about JS and Jackson Smith and Jigba.
At this point, and it's obviously very, very early, could CJ Stroud's, you know, quote, development have gone any better so far? I mean, you know, he was running with the twos, starts running with the ones. They're raving about him. I mean, you expect compliments, but you know, you heard Slowick yesterday.
You see Will Levis's practice?
Oh, God.
He's getting grilled.
He couldn't hit a net.
I thought, I mean,
I mean, not, he didn't even hit it. He didn't just miss the hole that he was supposed to throw into that net. He missed the net.
Yeah, his press conference resembled that of someone who just lost a Super Bowl. Got to go out there and be better, fellas.
I was wondering if you saw that, too.
I mean, I don't want to be OTA highlight guy, but he wasn't hitting the net, bro.
Didn't hit the net.
And it was enough to where he acknowledged
it. The dude behind it had to jump to catch the ball if you watch the video.
Man, if the Texans had drafted Will Levis.
You got to see this, man.
Man, I know Andy got to be feeling way better.
Oh, yeah. You got to see this video. Like, even they put guys back there in case you do miss the net or it bounces out, whatever. This dude had to go, like, highball it. I mean, high point it. It was hilarious. But on CJ, I mean, we are obviously very early. But you can't have asked for more out of him off the field, on the field. Are you watching it?
I'm watching it, and I'm reading the story.
Yeah.
This is from Teron Davenport, ESPN. Listen to this story right here. This is Will Levis. We're talking about CJ Stroud feeling good. We'll get into the future. We'll move on from the dream of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and could DeAndre Hopkins be catching passes from CJ Stroud? There's reports out there, and there's internet chatter that DeAndre Hopkins wants to be in Houston. We'll dissect that in a second. But look at this headline right here. Titans Will Levis won't beat myself up over tough practice. From Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee Titans rookie quarterback Will Levis, coming off a tough practice Wednesday, said he's not going to beat himself up as he continues to navigate the transition to the NFL. Levis, who impressed the Titans coaching staff with multiple throws during last month's rookie minicamp, encountered some adversity for the first time during OTAs on Wednesday.
That's one way to put it.
His accuracy was off. He threw into double coverage and he fumbled the snap. Quote, I know I have more opportunities tomorrow and the next day, so I'm not going to beat myself up. High standards is the name of the game. Well, or just catching the snap and hitting the net. It's not to beat yourself up. It's to motivate you and to go out there and perform the best of your ability. Accuracy was one of the areas Levis targeted for improvement during his pre-draft training. Levis said the work he did with blah, 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 blah improved it. The Titans, meanwhile, are pleased with what they've seen in Levis so far. Quarterback coach Charles London said Will's done a good job coming in here and working. He played in a pro-style offense at Kentucky, so he's been in the huddle, under center and call plays. That's helped the transition. Close quote.
Yeah, accuracy is everything, man. I mean, it's absolutely everything at that level, especially as a drop-back quarterback. I mean, and then bounce that off of what we've seen from C.J. Stroud. We didn't hear from Gerard Johnson yesterday, but he was talking about, like, I think he said C.J. is way, way ahead of pace, and the actions on the field say as much. It would stink right now to be Will Levis, because it does matter, and that accuracy is everything in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to stink. Right,
I'm definitely thinking
I do liked him too.
I did. I liked him going into the draft.
Man,
I don't deny that.
Hopefully, we can stop doing this all the time around draft time.
Well, a guy like that. Arm strength is unquestioned, but well, you got to be able to hit a net.
Man,
you got to be
rough.
We can stop looking for the next Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Could C.J. Stroud be throwing passes to DeAndre Hopkins? There's a lot of chatter. Roosh Williams, who's on them streets, he's had a rap career, law student, one of the most interesting men in Houston, quite honestly. Shout out to Roosh. Does a good job talking about the Rockets on the reg. He put it out there that DeAndre Hopkins had interest in the Texans. Brooks Kabina has reported it today, our guy. I don't doubt that Roosh heard it from somebody very close to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I don't doubt that what he heard is true.
It could have been directly from DeAndre Hopkins for all I know. I just don't think DeAndre Hopkins is really interested in the Texans. I think this is just something that he wants out there. He's got a new agent. He's got new representation. He himself has said that he's over the young quarterback thing. And quite frankly, if it's to the point where he's interested in the Texans, because I don't think the Texans are dumb. They're not going to like make him one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL. He's not one of the best receivers in the NFL right now, or at least he hasn't been the last couple of years, and he's getting a little bit older. That says more about what the market is saying to DeAndre Hopkins But to me, it also just says that DeAndre Hopkins is creating buzz. He knows that Houston has a lot of love for him, and it's a good way to kind of get the news cycle going because everyone's picked it up.
Yeah, it's
so
it's
people
buzzing,
are talking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, his goal is being reached.
Yeah, his goal is being reached. He's got a lot of love here, so a lot of people are saying it. Sometimes when it comes directly from the person, there's mm-hmm. a goal. I mean, you run with it because it's direct. It's direct,
it.
Yeah. But I don't buy it at all. And I think a case can be made from the Texans' perspective. They should look more into it. I don't think it's like some sort of no-brainer.
Yeah. Just because you need a lot of wide receivers, or you think you need wide receivers, or at least a top-of-the-line wide receiver, doesn't mean DeAndre Hopkins is the answer, and doesn't mean that the Texans. You know, that's the other very, very important, most important part of this. The Texans have to have interest in him. I mean, he can have all the interest he wants in wanting to come back. But the Texans have to have interest in him, and I just don't see that happening for a number of reasons that go back a long time, and some things just linger, and I think that's lingering.
So no go for you?
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing him, but I think it's a no-go. I think the reality is it's a no-go.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm over it. I want him to go do his thing somewhere and try to compete at a high level. I'm not down with it. I don't think he's what he was. I don't know how good he is. I don't know if, you know, if the Texans, let's say the Texans get off to a 2-5 start, 2-6, like what are you going to get from DeAndre? Yeah. Might not get as much practice, might not make as much sense for him.
Well, he's not going to practice.
From either point of view, I don't think it makes sense. I'm good on it.
Yeah.
I know it's cool to think about, and the emotions and the process of DeAndre Hopkins leaving town was tough to deal with. I'm over it at this point.
And frankly, the reason that it's intriguing and I wouldn't mind seeing it is you said you don't know what we're going to get out of him, and that is literal. Like, we don't know. Has he lost that step? One general manager said this week that he thinks he has. Is he going to be the same wide receiver that he was before? Because he only played in 10 games in 21 and 9 games last year. But, I mean, is that enough of a sample size to say he's not it, or is he still have it? It's intriguing, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
On the text line, Trailer Wheel and Frame text line, the 713, talking about the CJ Stroud, JSN mm-hmm. Wish. The 713, Landry, stop saying he wished for JSN. You're doing the same thing national media did, saying he demanded Dell. He literally just said in his own words that he wished.
Yeah,
for JSN.
Thought we were going to go 2-12.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. literally just said that.
Yeah, this isn't like somebody, you know,
like
speculating.
In his own words, he literally just said that.
Yeah,
like that was what CJ Stroud said, that he wanted Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. Let's hear that one more time. NBC Sports, the JSN wish from CJ Stroud here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I wished for it too.
Mm-hmm.
He wished what I wished.
Of course, Jackson, I thought me and him would go 2-12, but when they moved up, I was super happy because I wanted Will too. Like,
yeah.
Will was amazing in the process. I got to meet him a couple times, and it was just really helpful for me to have somebody like Will around, and a franchise receiver, somebody who they're going to love to have, not only on the field, but off the field. I definitely think that he's just a great human being, but he's a dog. Like, it's somebody that I'm a miss playing with, lining up with. One thing, he's going to have his quarterback's back no matter what, and he's going to make plays for him. So not too long, Jackson to be, if not the best receiver in the league, one of them.
Yeah, I thought we were going 2-12.
Yeah. Pretty obvious there.
Yeah, he said it multiple times. So, yeah, that's what it is. The Tate Dell thing was weird, though.
Yeah, that was
demand, like that was kind of unfair to CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Making it seem like he's just coming in and hey,
I demanded.
This guy.
I demanded.
Yeah.
See, the other thing about CJ Stroud, and you heard it in that right there, which we just heard, he just like everything he says. There's just a real sincerity to it. You know, he just seems to be a really sincere guy. He can be, pretty candid too. I'm telling you, if you're saying from the draft day till June 1st. You couldn't have asked for more out of him if you're a Texans fan. You know, on the field, off the field, everything. I don't know how good he's going to be.
Here, CJ, I don't know about on the field. Moving
up with the ones more, yeah. You know, the things they're saying about
I don't know what
him.
Type of quarterback CJ Stroud is going to be.
We don't.
I was open to
I'm saying like a progress, in terms of progress, it's exactly what you could hope for.
I don't know what he's going to be. I was a Bryce guy, and I think Bryce Young was the best quarterback in the draft. I don't know what CJ's going to be. Mm-hmm. I think they can develop a situation where it's favorable to a quarterback.
Yeah.
To where no matter what, you can still succeed, but I don't know what he's going to be.
Yeah,
I mean they liked him. They didn't want to wait on the quarterback. I'm intrigued. When he speaks, it's impossible not to like him.
Yeah,
like
there's a sincerity there that is impossible to ignore.
If we were judging podiums, press conferences and stuff like that, he's easily the number one pick. If we line up all the quarterbacks that were selected and we talk about, you know, just the way they come off at the podium and the authenticity. 100%.
Like Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are drawing up, how do we want this to go? It's going just the way they want it. I'm not saying he's going to be good. He might not be. But how they wanted it to go so far, it's going just the way they want it. I feel in every aspect. You know, down to just the way he's handled the questions about pre-draft, you know, and post-draft and being available and answering the questions here. And then, as I mentioned, on the field and showing the quote leadership, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you couldn't have drawn it up more. Who knows where it goes from here, but you couldn't have drawn it up better. What's wrong?
Whit Smith just sent me a thinking emoji. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, is that DeAndre Hopkins' reaction or what? I don't know.
Probably, right?
I guess. I don't know. Why are you sending me a thinking emoji, sir?
He's being very...
What is that?
Very mysterious.
What are we doing? Need a follow up there?
You must find it interesting.
Yeah. What? But he didn't say what he found interesting. What is this? What are we doing
he's
here?
Being mysterious.
Pulling the Jay Williams.
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing.
Talking in emojis.
What the hell is that? Talking to me in emojis? You don't take an emoji. What's going on here?
I only use emojis to back up what I just said.
They can be used however, but what am I doing with that?
You're confused.
I think a lot of people are confused.
Mm-hmm.
We're just ready for the season to start. Ready to add some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Get something going.
And get him on the field in those joint practices. Man, that's going to be...
Joint practices are going to be sick.
That's going to be awesome.
Miami, there's going to be some fights.
Mm-hmm.
There's always fights in joint practices. I'm anticipating one of the defensive linemen gets in a fight.
Probably. I'm not even here for the fights.
Do you think it'd be a cornerback, wide receiver fight?
Steven Nelson showing his toughness. I think
Steven Nelson and Tyreek Hill.
Steven Nelson and Tyreek Hill, if you can catch him. I'm not even worried about the fights. I just want to see those DBs, those wide receivers against the Texan secondary and CJ Stroud, you know.
The Nico Collins news was interesting. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if CJ and Nico could get some chemistry going.
Your point on the number two, if he becomes a true number two.
Or three even.
But if
he stays on the field.
If he becomes a true number two, I mean, that's potentially like a literal game changer. You know, if he can, because we've seen glimpses of how good he can be. It's just a matter of staying on the field. Staying on the field and being more consistent with those efforts. With Nico.
Wide receiver dreams of the past, wide receiver dreams of the future. A lot of people want Nuke back. We'll see what happens. Nuke's definitely making the rounds. He's changed agents, as has Steven Nelson. Got to confess. Steven. One of those I did not see coming, and I'm very amused by it. Let's have some lunchtime confessions coming up next. Watch this. These are my confessions. Lunchtime confessions. We confess our sins to you, the loophole. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Some of these sins have to do with sports. Some have nothing to do with sports. But we're transparent with you 24/7. We let it hang a little bit lower at 12:20 when it's time to confess. It is time. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I had no problem with the wave last night. Astros were getting blown out. Fans just trying to entertain themselves, getting it going, finishing the game, staying in their seats. That's what I was talking about like the one run game. I wasn't a big fan with top of the ninth inning and your closer on the mound. I thought it was distracting and maybe not everybody engaged. Last night they did it. No problem with the wave. That's what the wave was.
Oh,
built
you're good
for
with the wave now.
In that circumstance,
24/7 wave.
It was a blowout. Just to entertain yourself, hang out, have another beer.
24/7 wave. Give it to me. Let's just do it the whole game. Let's go Texas A&M on your feet 24/7.
Nobody can do that.
So Steven Nelson changed agents. He's now Athletes First. He put out a couple of messages, pressure, diamonds, all that type of stuff. My question is this. I confess this is really interesting to me and amusing.
Yeah.
Is Steven Nelson going to hold out? Is Steven Nelson going to try to force a trade? Is he going to try to force some sort of extension? What is the value for Steven Nelson? What could the trade market be for Steven Nelson? I just don't think a lot. Like, I confess this is weird to me. I don't know where this is going. And I actually confess I hope there's a holdout just so we can see how they
see
react.
How it goes. Would they miss him if there's a holdout? Would he lose his job if there's a holdout? I know he's represented by a good one, David Mulugeta, obviously very dominant in the representation market. But boy, wanting that new contract, Steven Nelson right now, I mean, that I love his ambition. I'll put it that way. It's like when a little fish bites a big bait. I mean, I love your ambition. I love your where your head's at.
Nah, this is like a little dog that always try to bark and attack the big dog.
Yes, yes.
Oh, bless your heart, man.
I'm not so sure they would miss him. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Watch this. These are my confessions. Help me out if I'm wrong here. MLB All-Star Game voting has begun yesterday, I believe. I think the Astros are only going to have one All-Star for sure. I think it's just going to be Yordan. Is that a sign? Is that mean anything? Because
I think Fromber is going to be an All-Star.
Fromber is the other one that I was considering.
Yeah, Fromber is going to be an All-Star.
You know, the win-loss
no
record.
Yeah, that's
nothing. I think Fromber
misleading.
Could be there.
King Felix won a Cy Young, I think, with a losing record.
But on the field, I was looking, okay, well, Kyle Tucker. Man, the outfield this year in the American League voting and the American League in general is pretty dang strong. That'd be wild, man. We'll see. Get out and vote if you want to support the Astros. But
Bregman, no. Abreu,
Altuve, no.
Altuve, probably not, unless the fans just go crazy. And I don't know if fans are going to vote for Altuve. Jeremy Pena, no.
Yeah.
Maldonado, no. Tucker, maybe. Alvarez, yes. Fromber, yes. And then maybe someone in the bullpen gets in. I think
they should do with Phil Maton what they should have done with because Dusty
Stanek.
With Stanek last year, Dusty and his staff are going to be managing and coaching. Get Phil Maton in there. Like that dude is an all-star. He's an all-star, but he's a reliever.
They use the starters as the relievers, et cetera.
Yeah. But the outfield, I went through the list. Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Randy Arozarena from Tampa Bay.
Is Ohtani considered a pitcher or outfielder?
I don't know, to be honest.
He didn't play outfield.
Well, he's a DH mostly. Julio Rodriguez. Adolis Garcia from Texas is tearing the cover off the ball. That's five right there off the top of my head. It's going to be a tough.
Do you care how many All-Stars make it?
No, it's just my confession. I think there's only going
to
be one.
I don't even care at this point. I would like to see Yordan in the All-Star game.
Oh, you will.
I want to see him in the Home Run Derby.
Yes.
Me too.
Some people say no. I want him in this year.
Yeah, I do too. Yordan is definitely in.
He got hurt last year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play.
He didn't do it. But it was just like, wow, you know, maybe just one. Fromber will get there, depending on what it looks like. But that's interesting.
I can already see people on the text line saying, hey, Yordan, don't do the Home Run Derby. We don't want you to do the Home Run Derby. Screw that. Get him on the national stage.
Yeah, get him on there.
Give him his damn flowers.
Watch
this. These are my confessions. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins is playing us, man. Got to confess, think he's playing us a little bit. Getting that information out there. Don't blame him.
T-E-A-M.
He gets the love in H-Town. He's got the headlines now with this. No, I think it's coming directly from him.
He was so petty, man.
Huh?
I'm just thinking about it. He's so petty when he did this.
T-E-A-M.
Yeah, he loves. He likes to stick it to him a little bit, create
capital
the buzz.
P, capital E, capital A, capital M.
He knows there's love. I'm not biting the hook. I don't think this is real interest. I'm taking him at his word for what he said early on.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Watch this. I know you're going to roll your eyes. Doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to say what I'm going to say, confess what I want to confess here. If the Texans have any interest in DeAndre Hopkins, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have any other options, he won't do it. But if I had that big contract for him, I would say we need to see how you're playing. I'd bring him in for a workout. You can do it. He's on the street. If you're going to spend $16.5 million,
come on, bro.
What did you just say, though? I don't even know what he has left. Well, nobody does. He just hasn't played a lot, and he was suspended for PEDs. So, I mean, I don't think it's – I think it's an insult, and he wouldn't do it for a player of that caliber. But I think it's smart if you're going to spend $16, $17 million on him. I'd bring him in for a workout. I would. I'm telling you.
This has been one of the best weeks in reality TV history, and I confess I've been locked in. Little disappointed yesterday.
What was yesterday?
Vanderpump Part 2 yesterday. They're kind of just setting up Part 3, which is going to be probably the best reality hour of reality TV of all time. Before that, Real Housewives of New Jersey Part 1, great. Summer House Part 1, great, although the show itself sucked. You can just watch the reunion and catch up. So I confess, yep, don't watch your Marvel movies, don't watch your comic book movies, but yes, I have been locked in to one of the greatest weeks in reality TV history. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right, so I saw this somewhat viral video going around about a raccoon went up to a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, and they gave him a Dunkin'
Donuts. Under the radar, terrifying.
They're awful.
They're under the radar, scary as hell.
They're awful. But the comment, because they gave him a donut from the drive-thru, and the comment was, doesn't that raccoon know you can never walk up to a drive-thru window and get your order? And I started thinking, I understand the argument. Well, you know, somebody could, whatever, you know. I don't know why you can't walk up to. I've got to confess.
Why you can't walk up to the drive-thru?
Yes,
that is dangerous thing, as hell.
How?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Because the cars.
You've never worked fast food,
people,
have you?
Yeah, people get robbed
you
like that.
I understand the argument.
No, it's a lot of reasons why you can't just walk up to that.
Scary, is it bro. That scary? Scary.
Yeah, because if that just becomes common practice, where you open the window nonchalantly, then you're next thing you know, you got a pistol on you. You want organization. There's. Potential,
but people walk into the place. They can fights. Walk in with a gun.
I done seen fights happen just through the drive-thru where they actually pull somebody out of the window.
Yeah, really?
It's some wild stuff. Yeah,
I worked at a fast food a long time ago when I was 15 years old.
Had fast food then. Was it like one of those where you have the tray and they carry the tray to you? And you
I did that.
Like, yeah, was there like
I did that at
people
the,
wearing poodle skirts?
Well, no, I didn't wear a poodle skirt.
Roller skates.
It was.
Were you skating?
I couldn't skate, so I just walked.
Wait, so y'all had skates? That ain't fast food, then.
The girls had skates.
There was no drive-thru
window?
The guys
just had our tennis shoes. This was not a drive-thru. It was a car hop place. It was called the Black Cow. Okay. It had great floats, like root beer floats and grape floats and all that stuff. But when you're, by the way, you want me to enhance your point there? Did they have fast food? Yes, they had fast food my whole life. But I remember the first McDonald's coming to town. The first one. There was a line like you would expect. So I actually was alive when the first McDonald's came to town. But are y'all serious? It's that serious about walking up to a drive-thru window?
Yeah. I used to hate when people did that at Starbucks. Whenever we close, then somebody will randomly try to knock on the window.
That's different. I mean, this is the middle of the day. Someone, whatever, they're on a walk. Say, you know what? I need to get an iced tea. You can't. You wouldn't let them.
Yeah. The weird thing is, you could just go inside and order. So why is you going to the drive-thru window?
I actually like eating in the fast food spot, man. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of that. I don't like bringing it to the crib, man.
It depends on the spot.
It's a little underrated, man. I think that's a little underrated.
And stuff. Go in and eat in the fast food spot.
I eat in Whataburger because it usually takes a while to get your order, so you just sit down, you know, and eat it there.
And they bring you that tray.
And Chick-fil-A.
For those ketchups.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, I don't know when I last ate in a Chick-fil-A. I like
I eat in Cane's.
Yeah, Cane's.
I go in Cane's.
I've never eaten in Cane's.
They got the ketchup pump, too. Yeah. Cane's, man, goes in.
I've never eaten in Kansas.
It was actually packed one time when I ate in there. Always. It was. I'm like, damn, is
Whataburger's
this Chick-fil-A?
Always packed.
Very efficient.
Yeah.
Canes will get you in. The ketchup pump, man. There's a few places that still have ketchup pumps. Burger King, Canes, Wendy's. I think those are the remaining ketchup pumps.
McDonald's does not.
I think they got rid of the ketchup pump.
Yeah. Oh, they got the package.
Yeah, they used to have both. The pump. They used to have the pump, and then they got rid of it. Arby's has all the pumps. The horsey sauce, Arby's sauce, the pepper sauce, the mustard, and the ketchup.
The thing about McDonald's, and I usually just go there for breakfast, so maybe it's skewed. I always walk right by the digital board where you can order. You just tap, you know, and pay and all that stuff. It takes longer than walking up and just telling a person. You know, I always just go to the counter. Like, it's not like that I wouldn't want to do that. It's just faster if you just talk to an actual human being.
It's Lunchtime Confessions here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, the good news from yesterday's OTA and the task ahead for the Houston Astros. In the Loop next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so reason for optimism yesterday, C.J. Stroud getting some chemistry going with old Nico Collins. How about that? Nico Collins, live and well. He seems like kind of one of those camp heroes at this point. I'm not going to call him Farrell Brown.
Like Jalen Camp?
Yeah, and Nico was playing well before he got hurt last year. So a lot of it has to do with health. He's shown some good things. I don't know if great things are in store for him. It would be the best thing that could happen to the Texans if he ended up just looking great and phenomenal. But Nico's a hardworking guy. He practices his ass off. He's got talent. So I do feel like he's one of those guys who, when you're in this situation, when we're watching practice
or the preseason games,
12 is always going to stick out. And I don't know. I'm walking in there with I'm erring on the side of caution. Like Farrell Brown last year, Farrell Brown got us again. That might have been three times.
We talked about it before the season even began.
And we went in there with a shield and we bought in with Farrell Brown. Figgy, I'm gonna ask you, do I need to buy into Nico? Should I have a shield or should I just go in there with an open mind or should I have a healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to number 12?
That last part. that last part for sure.
Yeah, I do too. I it's like hopeful. Like some of these guys you just pull for because, you know, he had a, was it a senior season or junior season, kind of injury plagued or last season or previous season anyway in college. And then he's done had the same things happening here and you just kind of pull for him. But I am not going to put any, I'm not buying any stock. It would be awesome to have him, as you said, number two or number three. But I don't know if you can count on it for the whole season. Yeah.
I think we pulling for him because of where he was drafted. And how he got drafted, because I think we traded up for him.
Yeah, a lot.
So if it was like a regular fourth-round pick or fifth-round pick, I don't think we have these high expectations for him.
Man, do we need to see at some point, like, some of this aggressiveness by Nick Caserio pay off? Like, we've seen some aggressive moves. The Nico Collins move was aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look, you want to talk about having the nerds going nuts? My man had the nerds going nuts. The draft chart nerds when he traded up for Nico Collins. I didn't think much of it, but he had them going nuts. The aggressive trade back with Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
A lot of people going crazy. You're drafting a guard. Those positional value folks.
He's got that Steven Nelson confidence.
Pretty upset.
He's ambitious. Ambitious.
Then you had the trade up for Will Anderson, and you have the trade up for Juice Scruggs. This is the year where we need to see some of this aggressiveness by Nick Caserio. This draft day aggressiveness, we need to see it start paying off. Because when you're aggressive, that's when you're really, really, really committed to what you believe.
Oh, yeah, it's a statement.
We've got to see some of this like pay off. Some of this aggressiveness,
You trade up to get Juice Scruggs. That's a statement. We think he's our guy. We think he fits. We think he's going to play very, very soon. And you're right. That does need to pay off because, you know, some of these others are already at least in question. I think even in some of these other, like the extension for Shaq Mason.
Yeah, you extended a guy who's
never been
in the
aggressive.
Yeah, it was a conservative. It was a very, like, whatever trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got aggressive. You never seen him in this system, and you paid him like, we don't have to worry about right guard.
Yeah.
We're good at right.
Well, you might worry about it, but he's going to be paid. He's going to be there.
We're really good at right guard,
yeah,
is what they're telling you. So some of this aggressiveness, it needs to pay off. For old Nick Caserio, the Nico Collins thing would be great. It's good to see C.J. Stroud getting something going out there. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud, by the way, in the 1 o'clock hour when we go to around the NFL. He's got a surprising all-time favorite player on TBT. Surprising all-time favorite player. And not only is it surprising based on his age, but it's surprising in the manner in which the era in which he fell in love with this player.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear C.J. Stroud talking about that coming up at 1 o'clock when we go around the NFL. Also, Slime Off.
We do have a Slime Off today.
We got a Slime Off at 120. It's a two-piece combo. Mm-hmm. Two media types going head-to-head in the Slime Off. Figgy, you're laughing in there. You got a favorite or something?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about something.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking all about. Right,
there you go. So we got a Slime Off. We'll see what happens. Okay. All right.
Mr. G. You. You.
All right. Whatever, Figgy. Astros, they are not playing the A's anymore. I'm not breaking any news, but the Astros, they're done with the A's. They roughed up on them A's. They took shots at the A's in their inevitable move to Las Vegas. They talked about the lack of butts in seats, but the Houston Astros, after they get done with the dog-butted A's, historically bad A's, they face the Minnesota Twins, and they lose 2 out of 3 to the Twins. By the way, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Brewers as well. So the last time that the Astros beat a team with a winning record in baseball currently right now was the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The last time the Astros won a series against a team that had a winning record was May 10th against the Angels when they took 2 out of 3 after dropping the first one. So now the Astros get a chance to actually beat a team with a winning record. The Angels are coming to town. They're coming to town for a four-piece. This is not a three-piece. A four-game set against the Angels. This is the stretch here. Much like we talked about taking advantage of the soft part of the schedule,
mm-hmm.
This four with the Angels, then four with the Blue Jays, then a few with the Guardians. I think this is a really important stretch. And then after that, you'll get Washington and Cincinnati to maybe figure some stuff out. But then it gets real tough. You got in June, you're going to have the Mets, then the Dodgers, then the Cardinals, then four with the Rangers, four with Seattle. This is the stretch right here, though, where they got it. They got to at least play like some 500 ball against the Angels in Toronto. I don't think that's too much to ask. You got to play 500 ball here. Because based on what we've seen with how they handle good teams, you drop 6 out of 8 and you fall to, what, 7 games above .500 before that little soft spot, before the tough stretch. That's going to be rough. They got to play some 500 ball at least in the next 8 games.
We've mentioned the word narrative a couple of times today. The narrative is building, and that would be, okay, they can beat up on the nobodies, but how are they playing against the good teams? If the Angels come in here and take 3 out of 4, if it's a split series, okay. But if they take 3 out of 4, all of a sudden, look at the standings. I mean, the Angels would be not going anywhere. They would be right on your heels. I don't know if it'd be they'd be almost a virtual tie for second behind the Rangers. The Angels have got this series circled big time. I mean, they're coming to Houston trying to make up hay on a team that's directly ahead of them. And if they lose the series, especially 3 out of 4, all of a sudden you're talking Angels, Brewers, you know, like how are they playing against these better teams?
Yeah, this is it right here.
Yeah.
I'm laying out the expectations. You got to play 500 ball the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going 6-man rotation too, which can be dangerous.
Yeah, they're going to have a move today. I don't know if it's been announced or not to expand the roster.
We'll figure out what happens there. But I mean, you have to go back to May 10th, the last time they beat a team with a winning record. In a series. They enjoy them A's, man. They miss those A's.
Who doesn't?
Miss them.
Boog Powell.
Who?
Boog Powell.
Who that?
He's former MVP, I believe.
A fat guy.
Yeah, he's a fat guy.
Short, fat guy.
Worked at a liquor store in the off season. How much beer did he drink? At that liquor store. Meanwhile, the Rangers continue to 15 games above .500, man.
When's the last time you went in a liquor store?
Oh, I go. We go to that Total Wine and More by our house.
Okay, what'd you get?
Got some wine. I think we got some bourbon.
How much did that run you?
Don't remember. You know what? I do. I do remember. I do. No. Yeah, I do remember. The bourbon, we got some of that Eagle Rare. That's what my wife likes. So that's a little bit expensive.
How much it costs?
I think it was 80, 65, 75, something like that.
Bad and bullshit.
And then you just asked me so you could hit that. This is awful. I should have just said no thank you. So I don't know if I just read it wrong or whatever. So there was this bottle of wine. I forget what it was called. And I went, and it had one of the little things on the cap, you know, little buzzer things, one of those more expensive.
Oh, that you might steal it.
Yeah. And I saw $34. I was like, well, that's not bad. It's got this thing on it. It must be pretty good. And I never tried it before. So I got that wine. I got up to the register. I misread it. It was $84.
Did you say I don't want it?
I should have.
Oh, God. Oh, that's cool. It's just 50.
I just went.
Just a 50 spot.
Eh, you know what? We'll splurge today.
That's all good.
We'll splurge today.
There you go. I'll take it.
I knew.
Cool.
I shouldn't have said anything.
So, in the loop, question of the day. In the spirit of De Niro and Pacino slinging it around in their 80s, which one just is going to have a kid at 83?
Pacino.
Okay. And then De Niro had one at like 78. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe they planned this.
They're buddies.
Is it for a movie?
In the spirit of that, I ask this question, localized. You're on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Mm-hmm.
Which elderly Houston public figure do you think would be the best elderly father? Is it Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros? By the way, he has a kid in his early mid-20s. So he's been slinging it for a while, too. Is it Mattress Mack? Or is it John McClain? State your case. Let's discuss each one. Dusty Baker, I don't know, man. It kind of seems like he wants to work. He's already raised.
He's got that vineyard, that winery.
Yeah, and he raised the 20-year-old recently. I think he would be okay, but I think Dusty just needs to chill at this point. He's been married to the baseball for 50 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would be great for Dusty at this point.
I agree. I mean, I think he'd be fine at it. It doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. I think he'd be around for a while.
You going to say that about all three of these guys?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
since you've taken us down that path, are you going to predict deaths too?
No, I'm just saying I think they'll be around for a while.
Okay.
Mattress Mack has all the energy in the world.
Okay. So McClain.
I don't think Mattress Mack would be the best. Now
he works too much.
But he's got not only his daughters, but he's got a couple of foster kids too. So he really cares about family, obviously.
Yeah, but
not foster kids, adopted kids.
Yeah, but he works too much.
Yeah.
He's got too much work going on.
He works like a
meal. To have a newborn?
Yeah.
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 He's got the money to get the nannies and stuff.
Yeah. I just think he's got too much going on.
I think it's John McClain.
John McClain.
And the reason is I'm just an old softy, a sentimentalist, whatever you want to call it. John McClain doesn't have any kids.
God, he'd be good.
He can you imagine how much his life would change? Like health-wise, not that he's unhealthy, but I'm saying I think he would get in better shape. I think he would definitely be the apple of his eye. I mean, he'd be pushing. He'd legit retire.
He'd be awesome.
Pushing that stroller.
So informative.
Spinning stories to his young lass or lad.
He'd be great.
He would be awesome.
And McClain gets my vote.
A texter earlier brought up a very important point. Oh, man. Did you see it?
No.
It can't be McClain. Carol doesn't want anything to do with it. They would have to be in the same city for that to happen.
We have a write-in vote for Rusty Harden.
Ah, oh, he'd be.
You think Rusty Harden can still shoot it like De Niro and get that money shot
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely.
You think get that money shot in like Al and Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Occasionally there was a happy ending.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It's not a crime.
You're wrong for that Carroll thing, by the way. If I did
I
that,
didn't say it.
If I did that, I'd get a slime off
I didn't
nominee.
Say it. A texter said it.
Okay. You don't have to read it just because it. You want me to read everything a
texter
said?
I didn't read
saying?
It earlier. I these read it now.
On the text line. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are. You want me to read everything these texters say?
Please don't.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Please.
There, buddy. Coming up, CJ Stroud has an interesting childhood hero in many, many ways. Plus, an almost Texan, we think, has a rough day at the office. Let's go around the NFL next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.